Robin.
We are the hosts of the APTA Pediatric Students and New Professionals podcast.
We are super excited for you to hear from our guests today. We hope you enjoy this interview. We are super excited to have Jen O'Loughlin here with us today. She has been a physical therapist for 7 years, and she earned her PCS in 2018. She currently works in early intervention in Portland, Oregon. So, Jen, thanks for being with us today.
Happy to be here.
Want to tell us a little bit about how you got your career started and then how you ended up in early intervention?
Sure. When I graduated PT school, I definitely knew that I wanted to work in pediatrics, but wasn't sure what setting. So for that reason and mentorship reasons, I decided to apply to residency programs and did Creighton University's residency program right after graduating, which I think was really unique. I got exposure to outpatient peds, inpatient rehab, the NICU, aquatics, really the whole gamut of the pediatric spectrum, early intervention, school systems, and let me kind of really see what setting most aligned with what I wanted to do next. So then after I graduated residency, I got a job in outpatient pediatrics for a large hospital system in the Portland metro area. And I worked there and was able to float providing coverage for their NICU, and then also started an aquatics program there. And then now I am entering my fourth year of early intervention for Multnomah County and absolutely love it.
Awesome. Describe what your typical day looks like in early intervention.
Early intervention is very different day to day. I can tell you what I did today. As home visitors, or really meeting the child and the family in their natural environment, it can vary where I'm going. So today I went to a couple different homes for visits. I went to a daycare for a visit. And then I also went to my program's main office building to drop off and then check out some adaptive equipment as well. So put a lot of miles on my car, and saw a lot of kids and had a lot of fun.
That is a lot in one day. How would you say early intervention differs from the other settings that you've had experience in?
The biggest difference I'm thinking of is really the depth of the relationship you get to build with the family. I think because you're meeting them at their home or meeting that child where they're spending a majority of their day, whether that's school with grandparents, at home, you are really seeing what their daily routines look like and helping make change in those settings. I love it. It's super function based and a lot of fun.
How do you collaborate with other disciplines within the early intervention model? And what disciplines do you work with usually?
Yeah, so our program, I can speak to what our program does. We have physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, and teachers on staff for our program. And the way we are divided is into geographic areas. So I quote unquote team with my specific early intervention geographic partners. And we have time that we protect on our calendars to meet either in person or virtually, to either ask informal consult questions, to schedule formal consults for children, and to really just kind of check in with each other on what our needs are, what families' needs are, ask logistic questions, protocol questions, IFSP writing questions. That's kind of, I think, the best answer for how we informally collaborate. We do also do joint visits, but also utilize the primary service provider model in our program.
Would you be able to describe the primary service provider model a little bit for anyone who doesn't know what it is?
Yes, it is a great evidence-based approach to early intervention practice. It helps kind of streamline the information that's going to a family by having one point person provide most of the information that that family is getting. So instead of four different disciplines having four separate visits and giving the family four different pieces of information, those providers might be coaching the primary service provider to help implement those ideas or those interventions with the family. So the family is really strengthening and creating that relationship with the primary service provider. And it's been shown to really increase satisfaction with families and have some good outcomes. And I anecdotally, we have a lot of success with it.
Such a unique way of treating compared to like the typical outpatient model. I find it so cool, but so awesome when you're in that home setting with families.
Yes. We talk about role release quite often, and everyone's comfort level with role release is different. So if you're a new grad in early intervention, you might want some joint visits kind of front loaded. So you're getting that coaching directly from that other discipline. Whereas like the next time you have a student with that need, you might be able to get to that point on your own because you've had that coaching and that help from that discipline.
So with early intervention's focus on family education and the coaching model, how does this impact your services, but also the strategies that you use compared to other PT settings that you've been in?
Yes. Well, the biggest one is just physically where you're working. In homes or at schools, what you see is what you get in terms of equipment or modalities versus a clinic. Like I might have a treadmill at my disposal. I might have a play gym at my disposal. I might have a ton of different special tomato positioning wedges. At home, I might not have that. So I'm talking to the family like, so if our goal is to get them to sit upright, what do you have or what place in your house might be the best way or best place for them to do this? So kind of having that problem-solving conversation with the family is kind of one of my favorite puzzle, putting all the puzzle pieces together, parts of the job.
You get to be such an important part of their family, which is awesome.
It is very rewarding, as all PT and especially PDPT.
Oh, yes, of course.
Roles are.
Can you describe your caseload and any typical diagnoses that you see?
Sure. Right now, my caseload is probably split 50-50 on half kind of a global or general gross motor delay or developmental delay, and the other half having genetic or congenital diagnoses, similar diagnoses to what you might see in an outpatient setting. We see children with diagnoses of Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, congenital heart defects, CHARGE syndrome, extreme prematurity, things like that.
And what is your role as a PT or any PT's role in determining a child's eligibility for early intervention?
Yeah, so I can speak to what I know of Oregon specifically for eligibility. Our eval team operates separately than our service team. So I'm not personally doing all of our evaluations, but a physical therapist is a key member of that evaluation team. And when children are evaluated for early intervention, they need to meet certain criteria of delay. And in Oregon, that's 2 standard deviations in 1 domain of development or 1.5 in 2 or more areas of development. And there are exceptions for a genetic condition that might not yet be showing a delay, but with evidence, we know that this child is a higher risk for experiencing a developmental delay. So they might qualify under what's called a physician statement, or there's also an eligibility category of informed clinical opinion, which just kind of means it's kind of a catch-all. Like there's something funky. The standardized test might not have fully captured either the referral reason or what's going on with this child.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I guess we should have also stated that early intervention is very state specific. So just because it's one way in Oregon doesn't mean it's the exact same somewhere else, but all run kind of similarly. I work in early intervention in Pennsylvania. It's very similar. The evaluation team is different than the treatment team and same kind of criteria. So how are most of your patients referred to early intervention around you?
I'd say the majority of our referral sources are pediatricians or self-referrals from family because they have concerns. But we do also get some referrals from classroom teachers, preschools, or private therapists as well can also refer. Also, the caveat statement of just because someone outside of the family is referring, the family still does have to consent to the evaluation and to the provision of services. But really, anyone can refer a child for early intervention services or for evaluation.
So when they get to the transition phase to school and out of early intervention, what is your role in helping guide them in that?
Yeah, so in Oregon, our early intervention team is split. We have 0 to 3 providers and we have 3 to 5 providers. I work on our 0 to 3 team, so I'm not specifically working on that to the kindergarten classroom transition, but I will help coach families for transitions into like preschool classrooms or things like that. So I can speak a little bit about that. Often that's a conversation with all stakeholders. So we have IFSP team members, family, the specialists on the IFSP and future classroom teachers, and talk about accessibility, getting into the classroom, getting around the classroom, how that child might participate in all of the times of day that are going on in the classroom, kind of trying to pre-plan what types of adaptive equipment coming from a PT-specific brain might be needed for each time of day, or what communication systems might need to be in place in the classroom for that child to best access that educational environment.
Awesome. So you've had experience in a lot of settings, it sounds like, through your residency and just work in general. What's one thing that you really love about early intervention, or one of your favorite things about it?
I think it's that the way you build relationships in pediatric PT, I think, is so unique and special. And I feel like I've come to just another layer or another level of that with early intervention, like seeing kids succeed and their parents feel empowered, like in their own home, like feeling confident, helping their child do X, Y, or Z, where they're going to be doing that movement, like that activity every single day is really, really special.
Jen, thank you so much for chatting with me tonight and teaching so much. All I'm sure are going to learn a lot from this. Before we wrap it all up, I just wanted to ask if you have any advice for any new grads or new professionals who are interested in working in early intervention, or just general advice for them.
That's a good question. I think my 2 pieces of advice would be to stay flexible, both in your mindset, in your treatment plan, in your intervention plan, but also like your own body. Like, make sure you are getting some stretching in and taking care of yourself, especially for early intervention. For me, it's a lot of time in the car, and I need to make sure that I am stretching and getting out of that preferred sitting position. And then for EI specifically, I think I would say it can be very isolating if you are going to a lot of different sites on your own or a lot of different homes on your own. So just making sure you're reaching out to those levels of community that you have, whether it's through your program, discipline specific, or at a higher level through the APTA special interest group. Like, those communities exist and are there for support. And it's not a solo journey.
That is great advice. Jen, thank you again so much for being here on the podcast and chatting with me tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited you guys are doing this. I hope it is really beneficial to those listening.
Oh, thank you. We hope so too.
Thanks so much for listening today. We hope you learned as much as we did.
Make sure to follow us on social media. Links are located in the episode notes. And make sure to check back next month for our next episode.
Special thanks to Peyton Whiteside and Annabelle Hearn for making this podcast possible.
See you next month.